Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Space Rehearsal and Recording, a uniquely Austin experience preserving its musical heritage and inspiring future artists. Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated on 9 acres just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery-lit corridors, and excellent parking, they've got the space and equipment to help you with your creative endeavors. Their customers range from local and international musicians to acting troupes to yoga practitioners and other performance artists. Now listen, I saw people doing a photo shoot in there a couple weeks ago. I don't know what kind of photos or what kind of thing was going on, but it was great. Anyway, listen, we got a special thing going for you with Space. If you go there or call to book your rehearsal, you just tell them that you heard it on How Did I Get Here, and you will get one free hour of rehearsal time. So look, I rehearse there. You might see me in the hall there, okay? I'm not just hawking this. I actually rehearse there. I'm talking about yesterday I saw the guys from Reckless Kelly there. Normally you see the Black Angels there, the Gourds, Alejandro Escobedo and his band. I saw Matt Nevesky from Blocktober. And, of course, Skyrocket rehearses there. Many, many people. You just go down there. And also there's great art. It's a great place. Windows, the whole thing. Go down there or call down there, 512-448-9518. Tell them you heard it on How Did I Get Here, and you will get one free hour. You can also find them on the web at spaceatx.com. All right? That's Space Rehearsal and Recording, Austin, Texas. Now let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I am Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you listening because I know that it's a choice you make and that choice is not lost on me. So thank you so much for choosing our show to listen to. I try to bring you a quality show. And today I have to make a quick retraction and apology to my last guest on my last episode, Emily Wolf. I said that her single Swoon was going to be available just this past Tuesday on iTunes, and it wasn't. It's available on her website for free, emilywolfmusic.com. But the song is not available on iTunes until Tuesday, February 11th. Okay, so sorry to Lauren and Emily for that. I apologize. I was in the midst of way a lot of stuff. I don't have a lot of help with this show. Those are excuses. I don't like to make them, but that's what happened. So, my guest today also has an album coming out Tuesday, February 11th, 2014. Her name is Erin Ivey. She's making her second appearance, well, kind of third appearance on the show because she did a quick phoner once a couple months ago. Anyway, she has a new album / DVD. It's a package together, CD-DVD package called Whisper of the Moon that she recorded live, a collection of songs with the Tosca String Quartet in a studio in front of a live audience. It's a beautiful album. The DVD looks beautiful. It's once again a very adventurous sort of thing that I enjoy people doing. And in this time when it's very difficult to put albums out, get your albums made and do all that stuff, you have to think outside the box. Erin Ivey is thinking outside the box. So we talk about the making of her album and her podcast that she made explaining the making of her album and all kinds of stuff. And she's got a show coming up February 13th, 2014 at the Belmont. It's a release show. Her husband, the fabulous DJ Cam Rogers, will be there spinning as well. It's going to be a great show. So if you are in Austin, go out Thursday, February 13th. If not, get on the internet, buy this record Tuesday, February 11th when it comes out, all right? We'll be talking to Erin Ivey in just a minute. First, let me tell you what's going on with me. Last night, I played at and emceed a benefit for my friend Matt McCormick. If you listen to the show, you've heard for the last few weeks, I've been talking about it. They lost their home in the flood, the McCormick family. And it was great to get to do it last night. It was a beautiful sense of community. It was beautiful to see all the people that came out to see the show and took part in the silent auction and to be around all my musician friends and get to introduce them on stage, from Gabriel Rhodes and Bill Carter to Alejandro Escobedo to Casey Crowley, my dear friend who came up and did a song with me. It was all just a beautiful, beautiful experience. Todd Wolfson played with me, and he was there. Hopefully we'll get some neat pictures, and I will post them on the How Did I Get Here site for that. But I do have to say, look, in this town where I live, we're all musicians. We're all artists. Some people have a little dough. Some people can get by. Some people are just on the verge of annihilation. I am, you know. I mean, you know, I'm doing well now, but God forbid something happen, I'm not in the position, you know. So it's nice to know that you have a safety net in your community that's there for you, and that we've built this sort of family around each other, and that it's appreciated by others, and they all come out and support when someone goes down. So that, to me, is one of the most beautiful things I've experienced in this town and in this community, and being part of this community. It's not the first time it's happened. I mean, it goes down a couple times a year. People get together and help someone out, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'd like to thank the McCormick family for having me, letting me be a part of that. I felt very honored to be a part of that, and I'd like to thank them. All right? In other news, the other day we had Sphinx call in, and before you knew it, the sirens were going off while they were leaving me a message from their car. I accidentally deleted that message, so you don't get to hear the second half of it. However, they are all right, and they didn't get pulled over by the cops. So let me fill you in. My friend Sphinx came on the show again maybe a month ago or something. They told me they were going out on tour. So I said, while you're out on tour of the United States for a month, call in every once in a while and leave me a message. So they just played their very first acoustic show because they're, if you know this band, they're very electronic. They've got a lot of tracks going on. They've got synthesizers and talk box guitar and all kinds of stuff. But they were asked to play an acoustic show while they were out on the road. And when you're out on the road, you know, and you're in New Mexico and, you know, you got to get home, you got to make that money. Someone says, hey, you got to play a 3-hour acoustic show, you got to go throw down and do it. So the guys from Sphinx called in, and this is their call. Here we go.
Hey, Johnny, this is Sphinx again, checking in from the road. We're in Deming, New Mexico. It's been kind of a different last few days of tour because we ended up playing 2 acoustic sets that we weren't really planning on doing. But the first one was terrible. It was in Taos, New Mexico. It was a show that our booking agent didn't book. I just kind of booked it because we needed to get down into southern New Mexico and Arizona. And, so we got in there, and we were going to play, like, for 3 hours. You're supposed to play for 3 hours. And then the room was so tiny, and it was full of, like, old people. We decided that it would be really bad for us to go in there with, like, our full drum set and synthesizer and stuff. Plus, you could see hotel rooms from over there.
Yeah, like 10 feet away from people.
Yeah. It was in a hotel lobby. So we only had about an hour of material that we could play acoustically. And we decided to do that. Anybody want to talk about the acoustic format?
I played ukulele, which I've never done in front of people before, and I haven't played it for over a year. I played the congo, which I never play, but it's super fun.
Aaron played acoustic. I played acoustic guitar. It was super weird. I don't think anyone was into it. We actually had people kind of complain that we didn't play for long enough. Just because all we had was about an hour of acoustic material, so we kind of just killed time and played.
We put James Taylor and Ford Ron on the sound system.
But we weren't being paid for that show, so we weren't really, like, working. We weren't too concerned about it. And the next day, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we played the University of New Mexico with another acoustic set, because they asked us, it was snowing, so we had to move inside. They asked us to keep the volume down, so we were pretty terrified of that.
We're just like, fuck it, we're not going to do what we just did on the last one. So Corey actually ended up using his keyboard. I had a kick, we set up our stuff, we actually wore our outfit. Went a little crazy, got a little weird, but people seemed to enjoy it a lot more. Much better set.
Yeah, it went over well. We got, like, more Twitter followers than we had from that show than we had from, like, any of our shows. There's nothing but college kids just sitting around eating their lunch, probably a couple other kids on. So that was,
made us a little bit better.
Yeah.
Not really good. First off, it was pretty bad.
So now we have an acoustic set.
Yeah.
So we just got to practice it a little more. And then,
we can do a shitty acoustic set or a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Set up to play in anybody's bedroom.
Yeah, we can play bedrooms, living rooms,
kitchen, shop,
diners, bathrooms,
funeral homes, toilet seats,
post offices.
Whoa, good times on the road. I guess my machine cut them off. Okay, so that's Sphinx, man. They're out on the road. They're probably on their way home now. I wish them a lot of luck. We'll have them back in to talk again soon. I'm sure they have a new album that'll be coming out this spring. and I love them. All right, speaking of new albums, my guest today, Aaron Ivey, has a new album, Whisper the Moon, coming out Tuesday, February 11th, 2014. Get down and check it out. It is a live album recorded with the Tosca String Quartet in front of a live studio audience, and it's filmed. It's a CD-DVD package, which you can find at aaronivey.com. All right? We have a great conversation. Aaron's an amazing person. We always have a good time talking. So here she is. Without further ado, my friend, Aaron Ivey. Let's get down.
I hear your voice ringing against the window pane and pull the blanket tighter around my tired hopes that the next footsteps will be yours.
Let's go to the first things first, lady.
Yes.
Your podcast. Excellent production value.
Was that just you?
Did you just do that yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you the producer of that thing? You recorded it. You did the.
I stole your idea.
You didn't. You know what I mean? That's like if you got a late night talk show and then you had to go and say like, "Oh, Jimmy Fallon, I'm sorry," but it wasn't Jimmy Fallon that invented it. You know what I mean? He's just one of the guys that does it. I'm one of the guys.
My inspiration for this.
Well, thank you
for that.
Thank you.
At least.
Mm.
I'm sure there are other podcasts that have existed before, but none. None so dear to my heart.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So you did it, and you said you put an RSS feed. So it answers a lot of questions. You went back, and you sat down, and they're short but rich answer or question-answering conversations about the making of your new album, Whisper of the Moon.
Yeah, it's hard to... The first interview I did was like an hour and a half long. And then trying to get that into 4 minutes or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Once I tried that, I was like, all right, screw this. Now
can you imagine
if you guys are in and out like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, you knew what to ask.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I knew how to, at least focus or like not be like, and then tell me what's your favorite color.
Right. It wasn't like that at all. It was very good. And you have a great voice and you have a great conversation quality.
Thanks.
And, you might construct sentences better than I do.
Can I go like this? I feel like I
sure.
can't see. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's better
yeah.
for me.
We can just see our eyes and not our mouths. So you have a new album, Whisper of the Moon, comes out February 11th. You have a big show, release show, February 13th. Are you going to perform? Sorry, this isn't just an album. This is a CD/DVD.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to get into a lot of things. So you have this, and it's you and the Tosca String Quartet.
Amazing.
So at this thing on February 13th at the Belmont, will you be playing with the Tosca String Quartet?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Just you and them? Maybe some extra guests?
There will be some special guests as well, yes.
Can you announce them?
Sure. Elizabeth McQueen will be singing with me, and Rye Dog Johnson will be playing the guitar.
Okay. Here's something I have to say that I think is really cool. And I'm getting this right now. There's like a new communal scene.
Yes.
And there's like this sort of thing that in rock a lot of people don't do. Or in singer-songwriter world a lot of people don't do. They do it in rap and in pop. Like everyone's on everyone's record. And, you know, I don't know if she's not on your record. But she's going to be at your show.
Mm-hmm.
You were on her show.
Yep.
It's a thing. You guys wrote some together?
We did. We wrote a song called Crying Again.
Yeah. And you guys sang it at that thing and it was great.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Did you have fun that night?
I had a great time. There were so many people. It was packed.
Yeah.
At that party.
It was packed. I was a little confused.
How come?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Someone gave me a weed vaporizer thing for my vaporizer. and I was like, oh, this will be cool. That many people in a place, and then a lot of people you know, and then some people you know by face, and some people know you, and then there's these publicists. The fuck? And I kind of clung to you. Like, I got to, like, where you were. I was like, Lori, can we just stand over here by this merch table, please?
And I was clinging to the merch table because I did not even have anything in a vaporizer. And I was, like, there were so many people, and I was really glad to have been designated merch girl that night because that gave me an excuse to just, like, hang in the back and not really engage.
I mean, that was a really, like, I mean, I didn't see Jazz.
No, I didn't either.
Physically, in, like, we were texting each other, hey, meet me in the back. And I was like, I don't smoke anymore, so I'm not even going back there. That's like my new thing. It's just like, I'm in the back smoking. I'm like, I don't do that stuff anymore. Yeah, I'm not going to go out there and be tempted. Especially then, it was so fresh for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing. I was a little, like.
Good for you.
Yeah. That was, I was a little intimidated by that crowd. But you were great, and her show came off great.
Yeah, okay. It did.
Let's get to Whisper of the Moon. Last time you were on here, you had just released an album.
Dreamy Weather.
Dreamy Weather.
Mm-hmm.
And you recorded that live at the Cactus. Top tens.
Surprisingly. Multiple top 10 lists in the Chronicle.
How happy are you about that?
Very surprised and happy.
I asked you in that thing because I actually listened to our interview from last time. When you started getting critical acclaim, which I thought was such a weird question. But I was like, is that when you started getting critical acclaim? But you did. I mean, you really are a critically acclaimed artist. And then I watched your DVD this morning. I listened to your album twice today. And then a time in the back with that thing. But I didn't... Here's what I'm thinking. You're doing these adventurous, creative things, okay? You made a video. You recorded instead of... I mean, you're the perfect person that could be a pop artist. You know, you can write a song with... You know, you could be... you could do a drum machine with a thing and... You know what I mean?
Sure, why not?
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like in this day and age when people don't really have anything to lose... The real creative people rise to the top. And I don't know what kind of financial gain you'll get from having a DVD/CD or, you know, I mean, it's really well recorded. You have these really great people play on it, make it. It seems like people can now really go out on a limb creatively and go to these places, which I think is why you get recognized critically like that, because you are making adventurous albums, very different from the last one. The first, you know, this one's different than the last one that you did.
Yeah.
Except for that, they're both live performances.
Yeah, but I mean, even Broken Gold, the one before that, was a live performance in a studio. Well, I mean, I guess no, we didn't have an audience.
We didn't have
an audience for that one, though. So yeah, it is kind of the same.
But I think that that's great.
Well, you can do whatever you want. Like the thing that made all of this possible was
the fact
that...
Is that what you feel like?
Absolutely, why not?
There's you can do what you want. It doesn't have to fit into any kind of box. You can literally, you don't have to worry about getting played on pop radio. You don't have to worry if something's going to do something. You don't have to worry if this is going to do that.
Well, there's a division. The artist self can do whatever, like do whatever moves you, do whatever you can dream up, you can do, especially now, especially with the internet, you can reach people who are going to dig it. But on the other hand, then if you are, king or queen of your own little empire, you have to then take that work and decide how you would like to let people know about it and how you're going to find those people who will dig it. And like something like this, a string quartet and a singer and songwriter, like no, who's gonna play that on the radio? Like I've kind of been wondering, like if
Lori
Americana
Gaiaki. No, but you know what I mean.
Totally. Yeah. It's gonna be independent radio.
Yeah. It's not gonna get played 8 times a day. You're
absolutely
not going to hear
not.
It as much as you hear Trouble by Taylor
I'd,
Swift
I'd
when it was at
I'd be really surprised. I mean, I have, right. I've made, if Americana won't have us, I don't know what will, because that's the only thing with open arms anymore. But I mean, who cares?
Like,
who
wonder,
cares? The reason that this was made was through the support, and not only financial, but just energetic support of all of the people who kind of came together around us. Like, I sold tickets to the original recording, so we had a studio audience of people who paid through their ticket price for the studio, the engineer, the band, the Tosca, And so that's how I funded that. So then I had this recording and I had the DVD, I had the videos. So then I did a Kickstarter to do the all the graphic design, all of the
film editing, all of the rest of it. The art, it's original art made specifically for this, or did you find some art and say, can I buy this from you?
Yeah, I licensed it from a local artist named Graham Franchose, who's an amazing illustrator.
Amazing. It's beautiful.
It's so cool.
It's so beautiful. And it's, yeah.
It captures the vibe of the music, too. Somehow.
Totally does.
Yeah, I really didn't want a moon on the cover because it's called Whisper of the Moon.
Right.
And
right,
so
right.
I hate Sisay kind of a thing that sometimes happens.
Sure.
So that I was very adamant not to put a moon on the cover. And this cover, I think, is an illustration of listening that is so beautiful. He just captures listening.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I love it. And he's
I like the fact that you brought that theme into your podcast art, into the cup and the string.
Oh, yeah. Cam did that.
Same. Cam?
Yeah, Cam Rogers.
DJ.
My hubby. Yeah.
Mixer Rogers.
Mm-hmm. He's also a graphic designer.
Hey, you know what I never got to ask about? I meant to ask him about a long time ago, but then I forgot by the time I met him, but relearned when I listened to our first episode of the podcast, was that he has an Austin, does he still spin Austin?
Austin-centric, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said he had 150 albums. Does he have more now?
Oh, yeah.
I got a couple. I'll give you the bond. Hey, you know what he needs in that mix?
Tell me.
Johnny.
No, I would love for you, like, let's talk later about which ones you want to actually, like, I mean, he'll listen to all of them as soon as you get them to him. But if you have, like, focus tracks.
Always. Hey, let's get back to this. Did you see, look at all the notes I made. And that's when I started writing down questions when I was watching the video.
I'm really honored that you spent so much time preparing for this.
Okay, because I spent none for my next guest.
detriment to your next.
And been in the band. Well, I spent as much time as I'm going to spend. I even thought I was getting a leg up on his when I started reading his thing. And I was like, oh, shit. Look, let's get to this. Okay, so it was recorded live at the AM Stereophonic Studio.
Yes.
It was you and the Tosca String Quartet, Lee, Tracy, Ames, and Sarah, who I have worked with as well. I love them.
They're amazing.
Totally amazing.
And so cool.
And then I have these questions, and then you were answering them when I was listening to your podcast. First of all, who wrote the string arrangements? Tell me about Christopher Cox.
Christopher Cox was referred to this project by...
Stephen Barber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stephen Barber. I'm totally blank.
I listened to your podcast.
Totally
just
blank.
A little while
Thank
ago.
You. I'm so glad. You know the guy. You know.
No, he's been on this show and a great friend.
He's such a cool guy.
Like, oh my God.
He's
also. Do you have him in your phone?
I do.
Yeah. He's a guy when you're out having. No, when you're out at late night Continental Club, give him a shout.
Really?
He'll come.
Cool.
Yeah. And he's so like, oh yeah, be there in 5.
I'd like to be that guy.
Yeah. I do too. I think he's so cool.
Next time you're out late night at the Continental Club, you give him a...
I will.
Think of
to
me.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I'll come in from my suburban... Give me 45 minutes and I'm there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give me 45 minutes.
I'm just kidding. It's almost that bad.
It wasn't late last time. It was... but it was good.
Who was it?
I was texting Stephen Barber. I was with Bale Allen.
Bale...
Yep, and we were watching Mike Flanagan.
Nice, upstairs.
And it was just, it was cool dudes. It's like J.J. Johnson, know J.J.
Yeah.
And, it's a couple guys. And then someone said, hey, what about Barber? And then we
it must have been
8 minutes. It really was 8 minutes. Like, I was astonished at how fast he got there. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll be there. Okay, let's get to this. So Christopher Cox came to you through Stephen Barber.
Yes, and he did the orchestrations for... I chose like a subset of my songs, some new and some that have been released in different forms. And then he chose the ones that he wanted to work on. He chose 5, and then Lee Mahoney did 2 more.
Yeah.
And
I like her.
She's awesome.
I just love them. But go ahead. So So he chose the tunes.
Mm-hmm.
How did he give you the arrangements? Like, when a guy did them for me, he sent me this weird thing, and you loaded this program in your thing, and then this synthesizer version of your...
Weird. I'm not into loading programs on my thing. I'm not into that. I think I have like a PDF. But then during rehearsals, the Tosca would, I mean, of course they like communicate ESP style, and then be like, they would just make little changes just to make it more
same. That's cohesive, what they did, because they played on mine, and that guy was there when we actually played it, and it was like, oh, this is a weird guy, let's get into this and fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of a, I mean, I have the original documents, but they kind of took on a life of their own once we got them into rehearsal.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you rehearse for that?
We did probably a couple of rehearsals and then a private gig at UT.
That's good.
For the deans. That's really the reason we got together in the first place. The deans were throwing a party for the other deans.
And they came to you, Aaron Ivey. Mm-hmm. We want you to do this thing.
Yeah. Well, they wanted Tosca.
How do those dean guys know you?
Through a booking agent.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, the machine.
what kind of circles you running in? All these deans everywhere.
They're very, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, obviously.
but yeah, they rehearsed with me for like twice for that, and then we did the live thing, and then I think we had one more rehearsal maybe before the recording. And then they played with Tosca played with me at my official South by showcase last year as well. So we've got like,
oh yeah, because it was just a few weeks, you recorded the record just a few weeks before South by.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you did your official South by with them.
Yeah, so it was like almost a year.
Okay.
From when we recorded
yeah,
it to when
it
less
came out.
Less just okay. Like 2 weeks less than a year. Which is actually really fast for me to make a record. Thanks everybody who supported it on Kickstarter and buying tickets and stuff.
What did you give away on Kickstarter? What were your incentives?
Gosh, I did the usual things.
Oh,
like
wait.
Catalog.
Oh, we talked on the phone for your Kickstarter. What's
yeah.
wrong with me? Go ahead. Keep on going.
You want me to, is that rhetorical?
No, no.
That question?
No, that was just a rhetorical statement of me being stupid. Or just, I do a lot of these. Look, at this point, like, I've released 240 something.
That's awesome. That's so amazing.
So in some ways, you got to say, like, give a guy a break. I can't remember every conversation.
You're
going
to have to talk to yourself about that.
Yeah. I was out on a date a little over a year ago with this girl, and a guy came up to me, and he's like, ah, oh, so great, man, you know. I was on your podcast like 6 months ago, and I was like, I know.
And your name is?
Had no idea of that. He did look familiar, but when he went back to have a drink, the girl was like, you really don't know who that guy is? And I was like, no, but I do. His parents were really supportive of his music career. Like, that was all I can remember about this person's face. His parents really backed him up on this whole thing. Like,
that's
you know
good.
These weird, that's intimate cool. things about people if you can't remember their fucking name. Okay. So in the Kickstarter, what were your incentives you were giving away on Kickstarter?
There were like regular ones, like a catalog of like my last four albums. I did one that was really cool that actually I stole from a different Kickstarter that I saw, which was handwritten lyrics.
Oh, that's great.
That was really cool. And I did them on like a big square piece of really beautiful paper. And
is this your writing on these?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have cool writing.
Thanks. It changes. Like it's weird. I had to do a lot of writing before Cam would accept my writing because it changes and there's a certain amount of uniformity that's needed. I mean, maybe I just think it changes because I can tell a difference. But I don't know. I did a lot of writing those words over and over and over again in my journal. And
right.
then we would just scan them and see which ones could work together.
Right.
Yeah. On the back of the CD is what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah, yeah. For those of you listening. But the personalized signature isn't on everyone's.
No, I did write my signature on that just for you.
You did. It does say "To Johnny name with love"
and everything.
I noticed that there were some. I'm going to ask you some questions now that got answered for me, but I had them written down anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and just pretend I didn't listen to your podcast.
Okay.
Your highly informative podcast that is extremely well edited, produced, and well put together. In fact, I have to tell you, I'm glad you just did it for that record and you're not actually putting one out, because it's a little threatening. Because I was like, what the f-? It sounds great. And she's great at it. Okay. The vocal harmonies.
I can be your editor.
That would be
your editor in chief.
You don't even know. I was just about, before you came, we need to talk about you.
Okay.
That's why you're here.
That's my favorite.
It should be. So I noticed that you had in-ears. Obviously, you're in a studio. You're wearing headphones. Were you playing to a click? That's my first question. Two-parter.
Okay.
That's the first question.
You want me to answer it now? Uh-huh. Okay. It is in-ears, but it's not. Okay, so they say that in-ears are like, you know, $1,200, and you have to have the right engineer and the blah, blah, blah. There's like so much crap that comes along with the world of in-ear monitors. So my former manager, Brian Conway, had the ingenious idea to get a little self monitor system. It's like $50. It's by a company called Rolls, R-O-L-L, R-O-L-L-S.
Yeah, I've got one of their products up there.
And you plug, so the XLR comes to the microphone, all right? And it's on, you can do this on stage too. I do it on stage all the time now.
And you plug that into that. And
take the microphone off, plug it into the Rolls.
Did that with Ian Moore. Go ahead, keep on explaining.
So then you have the Rolls, then you plug another XLR.
Poor man's
in ears. To go out, exactly. Yeah. And it works so much
amazingly
better.
Yeah.
So I do that all the time,
that's
so and I love
funny.
It.
It's that's like, what we did. That's why I have those right there.
It took me years to come to that solution that would, or, and I didn't even come to it. It was given to me.
Okay, so you weren't listening to a click track?
Were
you playing to a click track?
I played to a click on LTFD, That's the only one. And what's interesting is that the click was, we did two sets. We did each song.
Okay, that's another
once,
question I
and
have.
And then took a break. Okay. I had some whiskey, and then we did the second set all the way through.
Yeah,
we kept the whole second set.
Okay.
And the click track was at different settings for the same song each different time. I don't know. That's like a stupid
detail. Did everyone have
whiskey? Nobody cares about. Probably yes.
Okay. So you went back and you added some harmonies, because at first I thought you had a harmonizer. Oh, actually. Okay. Remember when I texted you the night that I saw you and you gave me the disc?
Yeah.
And that was the same night I was vaporizing the little guy.
That text made me so happy.
I came back and vaporized a little more and put on the video. But when I saw the harmonies, I was like, oh, that's so awesome. She has one of those vocal harmonizers. But no, I saw in your
fancy
podcast once again. I found out that you did a little post, just a little though.
Yeah.
Cam play a little.
Yeah. We went into Tim Palmer's studio, 62 Studios.
It's pretty cool.
And yeah, that was amazing to be.
He's pretty cool, huh?
Oh my gosh, he's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Travis Kennedy did all of the recording and all of the editing. And
he's
stuff.
The engineer for Tim?
He works with Tim, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim's a ninja, man. That guy's great. Yeah, I had him on the show. We met at a breakfast place called Jim's. And we had a great conversation.
Here in Austin?
In Austin. Hmm. Well, at the Y in Oak Hill, there's a Jim's. We met there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
I just gave away his breakfast spot, man. People are going to be there. Hey, man,
I mean,
mix
I
my
never
record.
Would have even thought to. Is that like a plate? Did you like it?
If you're an English guy.
Yeah.
And you come to America and you find this place that it's like $5.99, you get like steak and a pile of like. It's like. Oh, it's great. You love it. Yeah. You never been there? And I'm like, yeah, I've been to gyms. So, like a place my grandparents like to go. He's like, it's great. Yeah, he loves it.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, check out gyms. everyone, this show is brought to you by gyms, specifically the one in the Wine Oak Hill in Austin, Texas, where you can find Grammy-winning record producers there.
Yeah, now enjoying a surge of newfound popularity.
So you went in, how did you come to the decision to do the vocal harmonies? Was that something you knew before you were going to come back and touch up, or did you think,
Yeah. I mean, it was so easy. We were in this, in the editing room, and like basically just kind of like this. We just threw up a microphone and it took literally like 5 minutes because I knew what I wanted and I knew where I wanted it. And so I just, and it was only a couple of songs. And so, you know, we were done with it in 10 minutes and then got to the mixing.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
It was easy.
So it wasn't like there's not a lot of doctoring. There's no like.
There really
Frampton
wasn't.
Comes Alive kind of shit. No, Kiss Alive. You know, like maybe some, you don't know.
No.
Exactly.
I don't.
Yeah, because you can't. What
well,
you
there was so much bleed.
Go fix a cello?
Yeah.
You can't do
you
that.
Can't.
In
and
the
there was
of...
no tuning.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Was that exciting for you? Like when you played through the first time, you said you kept the whole second take.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of natural.
Yeah.
But like what in the first take, were you stressed at all?
I was excited. I don't think, I mean, I was probably stressed.
Was it the same audience? Did you switch audiences?
No, it was an evening. We all spent an evening together. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had food and drinks and, had a wine sponsor.
I didn't watch the video. That's great, Aaron.
Yeah.
You're an industrious person. How many cameras? I'm going down
two.
By the list.
Two cameras.
Yeah, that seems normal.
One of them was a cool red something something.
What with your dress? So you were wearing a red dress in
yes.
that video? That sounds so creepy, but I did just watch it this morning, everyone. It wasn't like...
No, it's very red.
You come in, there's like a shrine to
it's Ivy. Like that color red. It's...
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, it's pretty red.
Yeah.
I
can never wear that dress again.
Who shot it? Was there
a guy named
an
Justin,
overall director?
Yeah, Justin Kirchhoff from Digital Shakedown.
Okay.
He's awesome. I worked with him on a takeaway video. I had seen a really great video that he had done for... what is my problem with names today? Emily Wolfe. And,
oh, yeah.
And I really loved it. I loved just the... It just had a great feel to it. So we worked together on one... takeaway video for me, and then I suckered him into this project.
Let's go back to the sponsorship thing, because mm-hmm. I think that's something that in my wheelhouse of things that I'm able to do, money is just it's just never really one of them. I just don't ever think about it, but you need it to make stuff go, and you got people to sponsor wine and what do you do? What's your, do you cold call people or do you have an inside job? Do you know already somebody there?
No.
Horrible sentence again. Go
I
ahead.
Just, I like, I'm sort of evangelistic about the things that I love, like Miles of Chocolate, for example. I love Miles of Chocolate. And
yeah,
so
thank you for the chocolate, by the way.
I am talking about it all the time because I love it and it's part of my life. And so that's a really good, example of sort of a mutually beneficial, I hope, arrangement in that, I mean, there is no arrangement. It's just they like me and I like them, and they were kind enough to be my wedding cake. My wedding cake was Miles of Chocolate.
You had a chocolate wedding cake?
Yeah, it was just,
what
basically,
was the groom's
it was just
cake?
Like a, well, I mean, come on.
I
had like
we're
a $25
different.
Budget for flowers.
We're just the same
so.
People. Really? I had that
yeah.
kind of wedding.
Who cares?
You know what I lucked out on?
I mean, who cares about the flowers? Not who cares that you had a wedding. That, you know, that's not what I meant.
I'm divorced, so you're right.
Well,
I mean, ultimately.
And I know I worked with Tracy before.
Oh, you did?
I don't know how.
Did we talk about that?
No.
No, we didn't.
No.
Oh,
she's
good for the...
super talented.
Yeah, she's
and I haven't
a talented
seen her in
lady.
Years. Years and years.
Lucky for us, I went to high school with a dude that grew up to be an amazing caterer. And he was just kind of opening his own company. And he was like, dude, just like, if you can pay for the chicken, I'll do the thing.
Awesome.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Yeah. So see, it's the same. It's the same.
What'd you work with her on, a video?
We did my first big production
at
the Long Center. She designed it. And I mean,
you did
just
a show
beautiful.
There?
Like, yeah. The like hanging.
The fuck?
Stuff and the she brought in like a tree. There was this tree that had fallen in the middle of the road, and she stopped and like strapped it to her car, like a huge branch. Probably, I mean, 12 feet long.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, I'm like really, really big and bulky. And she strapped it to her car and brought it to the show. She was like, I've been saving this in my backyard.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful.
Are you going to release, like, how are you going to put out videos for this? Also, this video is brought to you by my ex-wife. Or this
you're right, I'm
this
sorry.
Podcast is brought to you by my ex-wife. I like to insert sponsorship like that into the show.
It's good. It's good. Jim's, I think, is really going to... That one's going
to
pan out.
This show is brought to you by my ex-wife having breakfast at Jim's.
Mmm.
These are good eggs.
So fresh. We're not getting anything done. What
do you mean?
Oh, yeah. No, the videos. I don't know.
Have you ever listened to normal podcasts? Don't even have the focus that this one has. Seriously.
Really?
It's just people sitting around talking. Usually people are drunk. Seriously. They get drunk in their podcasts. We are fucking getting jacked up on coffee.
We are. I love your coffee.
We're
going to
be talking so fast by the end of this. No one's even going to understand.
Cafe Bustelo.
CC.
Okay.
Okay, so
they're going to have to buy that from us.
These videos on this, how are you going to?
YouTube?
Are you going to YouTube that?
Will you help me? Cause
do you have
I'd
anything
like to,
out there?
I'd like to.
There's this thing, like, I'm trying to think, like, well, I mean, God, she made the DVD and all that stuff. You're going to do it on YouTube? But YouTube is really the only outlet. There's not like the Cadillac of YouTubes, you know?
Or it's YouTube, I guess. Well, or Vimeo, but I don't know.
Think
I mean,
Vimeo is weird to me.
I'm kind of a, like, middle of the road internet user, and I am on YouTube all the time.
Yeah.
For music.
Everyone is. Jay-Z is on there.
I don't know.
Did you watch the Grammys last night?
I did. Most of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to my friend Amanda's house, and she, you know, it was like a thing. It was a...
I was looking for a thing.
I would never have otherwise watched it, I don't think.
Really?
But then, you know, you have a few drinks, and all of a sudden, like, I had a commentary that I thought was very witty. No.
I was tweeting. I upset the lady I'm going out with a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Did you think Jada Pinkett was so great in that green dress or whatever? She wasn't even there, but you know what I mean.
Oh, no. No, no. It was just, I can, once I get going and I start laughing at stuff I'm saying, then it kind of starts going into a place like, I was like, what was the guy's name that went up there? Hunter Howard Hayes.
Which one?
He's like some guy you never even heard of, but all of a sudden he's just there and he's singing and he's like yelling.
Well, the one who was like he started on the piano, and then he was like kind of walking.
Yeah, white guy.
Yeah,
generic.
Yeah,
whatever. I was saying.
I was kind of wondering about.
Is this guy in the music business or is this a Make-A-Wish Foundation winner? Apparently
the. Okay, next year. We're going to do a thing next
See?
Year.
I would love to have like a serious party where everyone's doing that. And it all goes up like on a screen next to it. And everyone's just crying laughing. And it's not out of jealousy. Dude, okay.
We could make it a pajama party.
I don't want to get too far off your album.
All right.
But I do want to say, did you notice how weird it was that like, after a little while, everyone that was on the show was then on the commercials? Right after they were on the show. And then it just kind of was like this weird kind of like, it was almost like a blur across the whole thing of like this weird like.
Are you shocked that there's not a line between the.
It was so much that I was just kind of like.
The Grammys are one long commercial. So.
But I mean, it was like the cars, the cars,
yeah.
Like the Chevys, the. It was like Target. Some girl's like trying to sing a Justin Timberlake, and Justin Timberlake's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And then like the fucking even Paul McCartney was in on the action. There's like a thing, and then it got so intense that I tweeted this like, "I can't believe the fucking the Beatles or the Almost Beatles are back together, and they fucking doing it to a movie to promote a movie." But it wasn't a movie. Apparently, Paul McCartney's video for that song just has a whole bunch of movie stars in it.
Yeah, did you see his show when he came to
Austin?
No,
I did not.
Part of it was like that. Like, he, his movie star friends, I guess they all get together and make films and stuff, which is awesome. Like,
that's cool.
Why don't we do that?
Well, you just did, and you released it as Whisper of the Moon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The new album / DVD by Aaron Ivey. Brought to you by my ex-wife having breakfast at Jim's.
So.
And the Grammys.
Yeah, they don't need your help.
Well, I mean, look, you got sponsorship on that thing, but I don't feel like it's a clouding. Why am I championing you, but I'm mad at the show I saw last night? Why am I mad at Target, but I'm happy you got wine sponsorship? Is that the same thing, Aaron?
That's a really good question.
What kind of... Are we
maybe
just
it's
mad
the economy
because
of scale.
Am I throwing stones at Goliath because I'm just hanging out down here and I wish I was actually there?
Well, there's part of the Austin ethos of being local and supporting local and that community that you were talking about, in that I'm using the money that I am saving on whatever...
To promote a local wine.
Well, sorry. Not only am I partnering with local people, but I'm also hiring local people. Like, Digital Shakedown is based in Austin. They did the film. The illustrator, Graham Franchose, he is here in Austin. He did the illustrations for Whisper of the Moon. Tosca, based in Austin. So I don't know. Maybe you like the idea of keeping it all within the family and all boats rising with the tide, whereas maybe Target's aim is a little more diffused and not really beneficial to your community or elevating the discussion on art or life, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
You want me to do the next interview?
Yeah.
All right.
I've
got some time.
Do you really? She's coming at 3.
That would actually get me out of helping my husband make dinner for our neighbors. That would get me in so much trouble because I don't do anything in the kitchen except for dishes.
Tell me.
Which is actually a lot. Sorry, I'm getting...
What do your neighbors do?
Psychosis.
Do you guys have grown-up dinners?
They just moved in. So we're trying to be adult and welcoming them to the neighborhood.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I never do that for anyone. I've thought about it, though.
You just made me coffee.
Yeah, but you didn't move here. You came on my show.
That's true. Good point.
I remember one time when I was married and Casey Crowley was married.
Have you been married once?
Uh-huh. Me and Tracy and Carl and Casey went to these people's house. And I remember we went to this dinner and it was real weird because when we left, Casey was like, God, I feel like we just went to some grown-up person's house for dinner. We were like, so weird. And I totally know what she means, because I remember, like, the first time me and Tracy ever went to dinner at Trish Murphy's house, we left, and Tracy was like, how does she make all the food, finish cooking at the same time? Because whenever we'd have people over for dinner, we'd be like, well, okay, guys, go ahead and start on that broccoli, because the chicken's going to be another half hour. You know what I mean?
Yes, this is how I prepare food. You just start. Because the starting is the hardest part, right? And until you get started. And then the hardest part is making it all come together at the end.
Yeah.
So you really need to start with the end in mind, which is like way beyond me for cooking. I can bake, though. Do you bake ever?
No.
Have you tried baking?
Dude, that night I saw you over at Lambert's, I was totally baked. But I am getting into cooking, and I got a slow cooker for Christmas, and I made some stuff. I made the world's toughest brisket. It literally removed your teeth when you tried to bite into it. It was tougher than jerky. So I do have some work I have to do on my cooking.
Better than a dentist.
Yeah, much better than
a
dentist.
Take that enamel right off.
What else do we need to know about this album? This is an incredible thing that you've done. Oh, what's MeowCon? I'm looking at
it. Oh, MeowCon is a, that is a, hopefully, annual conference of women in music. Meow is a group, a nonprofit. I think it's a nonprofit. Anyway, Meow is Musicians for Equal Opportunities for Women. And I actually won one of their songwriting contests a couple of years ago for my song Amelia. And Carla DeSantis Black is the founder, and she's just amazing. And it's interesting because I have come into an awareness of just kind of what a boys' club everything is, just sort of everything. And really what solidified my interest in Meow and MeowCon and just women in music and promoting women and in music and kind of that being an interest really in my life was when I went to Straight Music to buy guitar strings, and the girl behind the counter said, "Do you know what gauge he likes to play?" I was like,
"Wow."
What did you just
say? The girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really interesting. And she was young, and I was like, "I'm sorry, did you just say he?"
She just said, "What, do I look like a stripper?"
No, I'm just joking. Buy him whatever he needs.
Yeah.
What do you think he plays? I think he likes
it. It is
light.
A boys' club.
Everything's a boys' club. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Though, I think if you get a group of women together who are empowered and smart and strong and doing interesting things, such as we have here in Austin, I mean, there's a group like WIMPS, Women in Music Professions Society, together every once a month.
Yeah.
And just we connect and kind of hear what's going on in everybody else's lives and careers. But also, I mean, there's such power in that. And I've found that women are incredibly, incredibly powerful in a way that I think I didn't appreciate as well before. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old now. I'm old. So.
I was going to say, have you ever heard the garage rock band I have, Johnny in the Ladies Room?
No.
It's all ladies. And
really?
Me. Yep. I guess that's not all women, but
well,
me.
Yeah.
I'm cool. And
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. It's very cool. It's really loud. It's Kathy Valentine and me and Dominique Davalos and Nina Singh.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
For
oh
a
my God,
while,
I have to hear that.
It was really huge. And it was like Savannah Welch and Susanna Schaffel. But it was too garage for Susanna. Susanna has way too many minor ninths. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And her, like, I felt bad for her because it was like, no, you just go like A. Ching, 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 but just hit like two of the strings, man.
Pretend that you actually broke two of the strings.
It was totally, yeah,
and
was
you
totally
can't
like
afford
that.
To replace them.
So, do you? Was the whole? Is Elizabeth McQueen part of something like that? Was that focus on? I mean, because that was a lot of ladies.
Yeah,
I mean, you had Chaka from Riders Against the Storm.
Yep.
And the brothers Lazaroff, obviously, but all the special guests, the name people, were ladies.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a conscious decision on her part, but it definitely balanced out the dude-ness of the band.
Yeah.
And they're a great band.
Was that a conscious effort on your thing, or did you just use Tosca because they're a group and they're great? And
it wasn't
it's
a
funny,
conscious
we
thing.
We all use them.
Because they're amazing, and how lucky we are to have them
here.
But
it was not a conscious
thing. And that
they're
open to... No, it wasn't. And they're open to doing things like that. I mean,
anything.
They work with so many people in the, I mean, pretty much they're like, oh, is that a challenge? I'm into it. You know, like,
yeah.
It's... They're, we're so lucky to have them here.
Yeah.
They elevate the whole scene.
Very much so. Very much so. And it's interesting because they are also, unlike the rest of us, someone... I've talked to Sarah the most about it, just like in conversation. They're trained.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are just like, I don't know, just do that one that goes like this. Ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, not that bad, but we're not like that.
Yeah.
But they're so trained. Like, Sarah's so trained, she can't just jam. You can't just be like, hey, Sarah, it's E, just go. She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I need some kind of thing. I need to know what the road says to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not a jibe on her because that's what those people do, you know?
Yeah, it's, I think it's, I think it's rare to find someone who is classically trained
yeah.
and who can also hang in a more improvisational arena.
I don't know about the rest of them, but I have had that conversation with her because I've just been like, "You want to just come and jam?" And she's like, "I want to jam."
No.
It's like, how can you, like, who in this town doesn't jam? Well, the Tosca String Quartet. They don't need to.
Yeah.
So who cares? Really. God bless them. When you get this on iTunes, you know, you should just get the physical album.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't figure out how to do.
Does it come out on vinyl and Laserdisc? Because that's
I wanted to do vinyl so bad.
It's so beautiful. It's are there going to be posters? Did he do the poster the show?
This is a little handbill size.
Oh, great! Thank you. I will hang this up because I love it. It's this guy's really done a great job. Okay, is Cam's going to be spinning before you, Mixer Rogers?
Yeah.
I like him, man. He's got a nice vibe.
Yeah, he just did a KUTX, my KUTX thing. So if you want to check out
his vibe. You also did a guest spot.
I did. Yeah.
I see you doing things. When did I see you one day just randomly at a thing and you were like videotaping something?
You
know what I'm talking about?
Remember.
Were you at the live podcast I did at Strange Brew one time?
No, I missed that. I really wanted to go.
You weren't there?
No.
Weren't you? You were there one time when I was doing something and I was leaving.
Oh, with Amy Bobrook, maybe?
Yeah. And were you filming her?
Yes, I was.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But that was right after we did our thing, I think. Do you do a lot of videotaping? What were you doing?
I just missed it.
Were you helping her friend?
Yeah, I was just helping.
I thought you were directing.
I like to think that I was directing a video. I probably... I had a really big beer, though. The beers there they're bigger than normal, aren't they? They're 20 ounces or something. I don't know. Anyway, so I hope it was okay. I don't know that she ever used any of the footage, but I thought I was being really creative.
Yeah.
Which does not bode well for a usable product.
Yeah.
In the end. So, sorry, Amy.
Do you do stuff with her?
Yeah, music I like stuff? Amy. Yeah,
I like
Amy
her too.
And I get together to write and also just to... hang out. She's cool. And she's got her... Do you have her record? It's really great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. She did this show. The one that came out then?
Yes.
She was doing a release show or something then? Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. She has... What's...
What is it called? I can't remember.
I can't remember, but...
I can't think of anything today.
I was going to ask you some stuff. You got this release coming out February 13th. Do you have any other shows planned? Around that, any other maybe?
No.
Nope.
No, this is kind of an interesting limitation that I'm
Can you imagine how much it would cost to take them somewhere? I haven't even thought. You know what? In Skyrocket, we did a thing with them.
Really?
Yeah, we did an ELO, Evening with ELO, and we had an extra guy playing keyboards too, and all seven of us, so there was 12
on the
of us
road?
Or something. No,
just
but there was talk about doing it on the road, but the taking those guys.
I mean, I'm definitely open to whatever, I love an adventure. I love traveling. I love playing music. And if there's an opportunity out there and somebody wants to hire us and they've got the money to make it happen, I'm all about it. But as far as putting a tour together, I don't have enough time or money to go out on the road and come back with maybe a dollar more than I left with, you know? And that seems to be the reality of touring without a lot of support right now.
But there isn't really support, it seems like. It seems like it's difficult now at this point to get support because there isn't, no one has a label. And if you do have a label, it's your bro that just had the time to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of times that's what it is.
Yeah.
It is difficult. And have you ever thought of Stage It?
I have.
Do you have worldwide fans? Do you have people
out there
clamoring
for
your business?
I actually just wrote some Japanese characters.
I saw that.
For the very first time.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, but beautiful. I don't know how they do it.
You and me could have a Japanese show.
I would love that.
Because we both look like what they like white people to look like, I think.
Awesome.
You know what I mean?
We could be their white people.
Like Speed Racer kind of people.
I used to love that show.
Me too. Nothing gets better. Do you want to hear something horrible I used to do to my cousin Jennifer?
Yes.
She...
No.
They changed the time of Speed Racer when she was like 5. And she came home and she said, oh no, Speed Racer's not on. I said, that's because Speed Racer's dead. And she started crying. It's Big Brother stuff.
Aww, that's,
you know, I was like,
yeah,
probably like 12 or something.
You're like readying her for the real world. The cruel realities that she
that's
has yet to face.
Speed Racer's dead.
Red car? Blue car?
Yeah. White car. Oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, I just, I don't know.
Oh.
Didn't you, I don't know. I used to, like, imagine that I was, like, a car.
No.
I always wanted to be the blue car. Or maybe I wanted to be the red car. I can't remember. My friend Jennifer and I used to, like, she would be, she always was the one.
The Mach 5 was white, but it had red on it. Red
maybe
insignia.
Maybe I'm thinking of something different.
You must be. So, this show at the Belmont, tickets are
awesome.
Let me get back to this. Let me get back to business.
Good stuff.
Do you, seriously, like if you listen
nobody's
to other
gonna
podcasts,
nobody's going to want to talk to me ever again, or you for that matter.
No, you. This is this place. You are welcome to come to.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we'll talk to each other.
Yeah, I like talking to you, and I think people should enjoy liking talking to us, or liking listening to us talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
A special guest that will be at the show. You cannot name them.
Well, I mean, Elizabeth and Rye Dog.
Okay. That, oh, yeah, that was it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I really want to have a dance element in it as well. So I don't know. I was supposed to talk to Tony Bravo yesterday, and we missed each other. So she's an amazing choreographer and dancer here in town. Diverse space.
Yeah.
That's Tony.
I appreciate that. I like that people are putting more into a show when they go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a lot, though, now to put on a show, and it's a little riskier. You got all those people doing the thing at the same weekend as you. They're doing the thing at Stateside, the Gina Chavez. And,
yes, yeah.
Those guys. Bob Schneider is doing a thing like an ACL theater.
Yep.
On big the risks, but I like it. I like that people are biting off a lot and going for it.
I like making events.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I would rather go to an event that has been well thought out sometimes than just going to just kind of like a show that's just, I mean, I don't know.
That's the thing that I'm saying is that like kind of with the handicaps that
not
we
that
have money wise and that we don't get like radio playing, that
no,
we can't
that's
do this
true.
Stuff. People are literally being fucking really creative. Look at you. Like, you're going to have dance people, you know, thinking, oh, maybe I'd like to incorporate some dance. Just even thinking of that is insane. Like, it's not even like, oh, dude, I need to make sure that I have my boyfriend strings are all ready to go. Or, you know, like, make sure I have strings for the show. I mean, seriously, there's some people that work on that level.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
And then they wonder why nobody comes to see them play. I mean, you're really going out and, I mean, seriously. I mean, I have people
it
sit
is,
right
it,
there
it
like, you
risk.
Know, oh, it's bullshit. They won't let you play. Well, you're not even trying to do anything cool. You're just trying to show up with a, you know.
It is a risk. I guess more financially than anything else. I mean, I'm on the hook for, because I didn't get any sponsors for this show. Like,
okay.
I didn't, I'm just doing it on my own. So it is a financial risk. On the other hand, I'm throwing a party, and it's kind of like having a wedding. I mean, you want your friends and your family and your fans and your people to come and have a great time. And, you know, there's a cover charge at the door. So hopefully that will make it all even out, that the money that I put up front for the musicians and the, you know, other goodies will come back to me because people will want to participate, but ultimately,
and you're,
it's kind of like just a wedding a little bit.
It's a party.
Just, yeah.
It's more than just a, you know, that's what a release should be. And I like you're giving away a couple of tunes that people will get access to if they go for.
Your admission comes with access to two bonus unreleased songs
that's awesome
nobody has heard. And exclusive, Johnny Gowdy exclusive, they're French lullabies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're so beautiful. I mean, I think they're beautiful. I enjoyed making them for you.
This show is brought to you by the two unreleased French lullabies.
And you get $10 off every copy of the CD-DVD combo that you may purchase that night. So kind of the thing I wanted to do was encourage people to come and know that even though cover is $10, you're going to get that money back. Like, it's kind of like you're going to buy the ticket, and the ticket will not only will you get this great show, you'll also get other stuff too.
You know what you're going to wear yet?
I have an idea.
Okay.
It's got sequins.
Really?
Yeah.
How long is the show going to be?
I don't know. I haven't written the set list okay. yet.
I'm trying to think of some other weird questions I can ask you.
I mean, doors are at 7.
Show. Doors are at 7. Mixer, shows at 8.
Mixer Rogers is going to be on from like 7 to 8, right. 8, 10, something like that. And then I'll do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have Cam, you know, Mixer Rogers at the end as well.
I like that idea of I like to have an early show and then a chilled out DJ scene at the end, because band after band after band after band after band, you're going to be talking over someone's shit. And not that people should be talking over Cam's shit, but you can get into Cam's shit and you don't have to sit there and watch it with all the lights off and fucking focus on one thing and it's really loud.
One thing that I will be controlling for is sound, like the level. I don't know, it drives me crazy to have to yell, to wake up the next morning and have my voice be raw because
that
I was screaming at people
totally,
because I couldn't hear anything the night before at some show where it could have been half the volume and twice the impact. I mean, it drives me crazy. I don't know why people, I guess, are they inflicting their
hearing
loss
upon
us as a punishment?
I was
in
a band that was officially named Gowdy, but sound people across the United States of America would go, "Hey, look, guys, it's Loudy," when we come walking in. So I know what you mean, but there was one point when being loud was very important to me. So I felt like if you're too loud, you're too old. And now I'm at an age where I have earplugs in my pocket all the time. I had them made. And even at those Sunday things that Christina was having at Do Mamma Mia, I still had my earplugs in when I was hanging out.
And you'll still have your hearing.
Hopefully. I mean, I don't know. I went fucking a long
time
without them.
Is a lot to be said for volume as an emotional connection. Because your body vibrates differently when shit is loud. And I get that. Like, I totally get
that. Rock
and
roll too, you know.
But I don't think that it's appropriate in every situation. Mm-mm. And it seems like...
Well, also, you're not going to go see The Sword and think you're going to be able to have some heart-to-heart conversation with someone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know what The Sword is.
Oh, you don't know what The Sword is?
No.
Get hip, baby. You like metal? Do you get into metal? Do you flip out sometimes?
Yeah.
This is like wizard shit, space shit. Like, they sing about all kinds of stuff. Dude sounds a lot like Ozzy when he's singing.
Really?
And it's a high concept metal.
So like Europe meets Pantera?
Not Europe. No, there's some
no,
Pantera,
I'm,
but there's no Europe,
Europe,
man. No. These guys aren't pussing at all. Yeah, I'm not even like a metal guy, but I'm so blown away. But I've got their records.
The Sword.
Yeah.
Okay.
Metallica, they're from here. Metallica's taking them out on tour. That's how badass those guys are. Yeah. In fact,
what was Metallica doing yesterday on the Grammys? What was that? That was supposed to be a Lou Reed tribute.
Well, let them do what they want. I know those guys. In my rock and roll situation,
why didn't the Grammys give a Lou Reed tribute as opposed to being like, well, we could put Metallica here?
Because the last thing that either one of them really did was a record together.
Really?
Yeah, Lulu. Universally panned by Metallica fans and Lou Reed fans and the musical community in general throughout the world.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, they did a thing. The last record came out like a year or two ago or something. Year and a half ago. It's called Lulu.
Why didn't they play something from that?
Because nobody liked it.
Because everybody hates it?
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know.
Whatever, they
that
just did something.
That pissed me off.
I liked, I didn't like all the commercialism. I did not like Madonna it's ruining that one moment that was kind of cool. But I did like Daft Punk. I just do. I just love those guys. Always have.
Let it out.
And I don't care. I don't care how long or how much people have been singing with robot voices. It never gets old. It still is totally awesome. Robot voice, always great for me.
Beyonce's opening, the Beyonce Jay-Z opening for me was, I think, the highlight. I think that was the highlight for me.
It's kind of like Boner City. At first, I thought he was going to come out and not even rap, just be like, hey, man, you looking at my wife's ass? At first, I really thought that would have been totally awesome if we would have stopped the music and started calling people out.
But how fascinating that everybody else brought out. I mean, okay, let's take Metallica's performance as a counterpoint.
Yeah.
They had the backdrops. They had multiple screens in the back doing different things. They had the lights. They had they had so much going on.
Yeah.
Versus the girl, the chair, the smoke.
And you know what? She can sing. The song wasn't even amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even like a song. I can't remember that song.
Yeah, I don't remember what she sang either.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a chick in a chair. And then her husband came out and rapped. And, you know, I thought rapping... This is going to really go far with some of the people that listen to this show, but some of the rapping saved some of those songs. Like, I mean... Finally, when someone would start rapping, I'd be like, Jesus, thank God, because that song was really bringing me down.
Yeah, there was
one. And I felt
one...
like a lot of people don't play their best song. Like,
what was the one Kendrick Lamar was rapping over somebody? Yeah, that was really cool.
That was good, yeah. The other thing, too, was like, all I was thinking was like, I never think about how, I don't think I could deal with like Paul McCartney sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, I would
so
be
cool.
Like, if someone could just ask him to just leave. For my performance, I'd be pretty stoked. Because
well, it's obviously... I mean, your music is obviously really heavily influenced by him. But he's so cool.
Yeah.
I feel like once you were actually next to him, you'd be like melting in
this
his
is what
aura
happened to me.
Of amazingness.
When I saw John, I liked the people sitting down and playing the piano songs. And like, what was up with that whole Jim Steinman trip that Taylor Swift went into with her... Like, this is kind of like
that's
fucking,
one of the
like,
things
really
that
over-dramatic
she does.
Jim Steinman piano
you
playing.
You obviously haven't seen her DVDs.
I, you know what, man? Not, I, she doesn't, she's never, the fake, there was one thing where.
I thought she sounded really good.
I thought she sounded fine.
Yeah.
I can always find something to hate about her. Mm-hmm. Look, she can get up there and.
Her dress was my favorite.
Oh, here's the thing.
Not
that
the dress
me out.
During the piano part, but like her, just the dress when she was just being herself. I mean, not that that's not being herself, but you know what I mean. When she was just sitting there.
I know Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I thought that was really cool that
they
went
to that
other song. I
thought it was really cool.
Song.
I thought that was awesome. But when he went to go sing the first verse, my man didn't know the words. And he did not only not pretend to not know the words, he just went, down at the beginning. But yeah, we've come to, I mean, that's what that first verse that he sang, that's all he did. It was just kind of like, oh, dude.
But nobody knows the words. They every shot they showed were
that's
people
true.
Singing the wrong
that's true, that's true,
words.
That's true, that's true,
that's true. And it's not hard. They just, you know, people don't care about the words. I just, one thing that kind of pisses me off about the...
Nobody cares about the words with a song like Get Lucky. I mean, that's like my favorite song in the world, but who cares?
The Star Spangled Banner. Best poem. That's one
Did
of my
I
favorite
see you
poems.
Write that somewhere? Did I,
wrote,
see you
I wrote
put
a,
the blog about
I blogged
that today?
About it because it made me very upset. It makes me. I'm perpetually upset about how we've memorized it, and so people don't even, like, you just sing it, or you just, we don't say it, we just sing it, and nobody knows what the hell the words mean, and it's the most beautiful poem about this moment where, after this whole battle all through the night, like, the sun rises, and finally he does see the flag that tells him that his side is winning, or that they didn't lose the, you know, that
sorry,
they didn't
I'm laughing
lose
at
the...
myself because I'm like,
have you?
What
do you
song
know
are you
that...
talking about? I'm going through the words. I'm like, oh yeah, the flag was still there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but go ahead. So keep on telling me the story, because I don't even know this.
It was written by Francis Scott Key after the Battle of Fort McHenry, which was during the, what was it, the French, what was that? I should know this. I do know this. Anyway, it wasn't the Revolutionary War, but it was a subsequent battle with Britain. And he had gone to secure the release of a friend of his, I think, who was imprisoned. And while he was away, he saw the Fort McHenry being attacked. And so all through the night, he's like, you know, looking for the flag.
Right.
And he only sees it when things are exploding.
Right.
And so he catches glimpses of the... I mean, this is just... I'm wow. only just paraphrasing what's in the stupid song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's no not... I mean, it's not a stupid song, but...
No, no, no. I know what you mean.
It makes me so mad. Because it's so beautiful. And we just kind of like spit it out once a week for a football game or whatever.
I bet there's people that are super patriotic or at least go around spitting that sort of...
I'm the daughter of a Marine,
yeah,
so maybe that is... Maybe.
I thought you were a daughter of a man in the Navy because you were in Annapolis, but it was a Marine?
He taught at the Academy.
Okay.
But yeah, Marine.
This show is brought to you by the history of the United States.
Poorly reenacted.
You could do
by
a
an
drunk
upset
history.
Aaron Ivey.
You ever see that?
I would be honored to do the drunk history of that because I could probably not do a better job. Than I just did.
That sounds
sad.
Good.
Sad but true. But no, seriously,
oh,
check out the poetry of that. It's so beautiful.
I will.
I hope it's meaningful for you next time you hear it.
I was in the middle of a question 15 minutes ago, and we went off on a tangent, and my thing
shocking.
Was like, if you buy this album, Whisper of the Moon, on the iTunes, then I started just said, you shouldn't. You should buy it so you can look at the thing. But say you just want the music and the thing. When you buy the music, do you also, does it come, do you get the...
Video?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't figured out how to do that.
Okay.
If anybody knows how to do that, I'm Aaron at AaronIvy.com.
Show is brought to you by Aaron Ivy at AaronIvy.com. My ex-wife having breakfast at a, what's that place called? Jim's.
Jim's.
Thursday, February 13th, the Belmont, 305 West 6th Street, Austin, Texas. Doors 7 p.m., show at 8 p.m. Mixer Rogers, Cam Rogers, will be spinning before and after the show. You will have special guests such as Elizabeth McQueen, two-time appearances on the show as well, like you, two-timer.
Wow.
You're a three-timer, actually. You did a phoner.
So, yeah, with the phoner. It's probably an elite club, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a few.
Tell me.
Susanna Schaffel.
Mm-hmm.
There's no favorites or anything, but my friendship with her made it easy for me to start this podcast by making her my first guest.
Awesome.
Because I already knew this would be
She's
easy.
A good guest.
Yeah, she's a great guest. I think she's been on 5 times. But like with the Coveters and then, you know, on the phone during The Voice and then after The Voice on the show, she's gone through, you
mm-hmm.
know, we've, yeah, this... You've gone through some stuff, you know, since we last talked. Your hair isn't as light as it once was.
That is, it's pretty deep stuff I've been going through.
Really?
Pretty deep.
Or just hair?
No, just hair.
Yeah. Do you have animals before we go? Do you have a dog or cat?
There is a cat living in my house, yes.
Do you not take this? Is this not your cat?
No, I'm learning to love the cat.
Is it Cam's cat? Did it come with the... family or something?
It came with the family, yes. Yeah. And he's fine. The girls named him Mr. DJ. So
that's
he's like musical.
Do they like your music?
Uh-huh.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
One of my last shows of last year, Naomi, who's 8, sang the encore with me.
Really?
Yeah, we did like a medley of Christmas tunes.
That is awesome.
Really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Like when I was 8, I would never have done that. And she just was like fearless. She loves a microphone.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good. Well, tell Cam I said hi. Is there anything I'm missing?
No.
Whisper of the Moon should be available at record stores, independent record stores.
Waterloo Records.
Yeah. You go to End of an Ear? You want to put some
I haven't
there?
Been there. I should.
Yeah.
Actually, John Kuntz has suggested that I go to other indie record stores as well.
Wow.
Right? He's so cool.
He is cool. And you know what? We're going to leave on this note. Christmas, you know what I did? I went and bought music at local record stores for my family of music that fits in their thing that they might not know. That's what I did, and I did it at all my record stores. I didn't go buy, like, the Best of Earth, Wind, and Fire for $4.99 at Best Buy or something. I really went and, like, oh, they like Earth, Wind, and Fire? Oh, maybe they'll like Roxy Rocha or, you know, somebody that's funky in some way.
It's so important to do that. Totally.
Is there anything I'm missing? You have any plans after this record release? I mean, that's a lot of work you put into it. You might want to take a break, a nap. No?
No, but I don't know. I really like the pedal steel guitar, so I've always had this notion about doing a record with just voice and pedal steel guitar. How pretty would that be?
Gorgeous.
But I don't know. That's just a little kernel of something in my hind brain.
Okay. Aaron Ivey, Whisper of the Moon, great job.
Thank you for having me.
Really. Seriously, and great. It's a beautiful
amazing
DVD.
Amazing coffee.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm trying to get that to be an award at the Austin Chronicle Music Awards. Best coffee during a podcast. I definitely have that one.
In the bag.
I hope.
Hands down.
I hope. The release party, February 13th, 2014. The Belmont, Austin, Texas.
Come on out.
People everywhere around the United States and the world can download this music on iTunes. Or just go to AaronIvey.com. Great website, by the way. And you can also, there's a link there to go to her podcast where she interviews the key players in the making of this record, where she has great conversations with them as well.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anything else? Am I missing something?
I just have to go to the bathroom really bad.
Thank you for coming.
I hear your voice ringing against the window.
Aaron Ivey. Yeah, man, now we're friends. Second appearance on the show. Actually, her third, really, if you count the phone in. Her album / DVD, Whisper of the Moon, is fantastic. You just heard a little bit there. Recorded live, filmed live, beautiful packaging. Comes out February 11th, 2014. You can find out everything you need to know about Aaron Ivey at AaronIvey.com. Okay? Get all your stuff that you need. Her last album, Dreamy Weather, is also very, very good. We're now pals. She's not just a person I used to see on the TV. She's now a person I used to see on the TV, but I can text if I need to tell her something funny about something. Also, I'd like to thank her for filling me in about some Jesse Sublett stuff for that interview, because I actually recorded these on the same day, even though that one came out a couple weeks ago. She has a release show. Go to it if you're in Austin, Texas, Thursday, February 13th, 2014, at the Belmont. Aaron Ivey, fantastic person. Thank you for listening to this show, you guys. You make my life better. You make me happy. I'm off to MC a benefit. It's my first time MCing a show, so wish me luck, you guys. Good golly, Miss Molly. I'm sure you'll hear about it at some point. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You know that you can always subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and you should leave a comment and rate it. How did I get here? We're your friends. Let's listen to some more Aaron Ivey from her album / DVD together, one package, Whisper of the Moon. Aaron Ivey, thank you for listening. Let's get down. Have a good weekend. I never say that, do I? Hey, guys, have a good weekend. Safe ride home. Let's get down.
Oh, light, where shall I go when you are gone? What will my fantasies become? Twisted roots they grew, grasping high to reach for you. Oh light, where shall I go when you are gone? Oh light. sea. Adrift on the empty blue, I wish for winds that we once knew. Oh love, what will I do when you leave me? Oh time, what will you make of my disguise? When I see myself, I swear I'm looking at someone else. Oh, time, what will you make of my disguise? Be unfurled.